Proverbs chapter number 4. First of all, many things in life that we treasure. In fact, today if I'd ask you, what is it you treasure the most? What would it be that you would say? Well, first of all, I believe we ought to treasure our spouses, our children, our grandchildren, and all of our family in some way or another. We treasure our friendships. I'm thankful for the church that stands behind me and prays for me. And I've been having some health problems, and I want you to know that I believe God's heard and answered your prayer, and I'm doing better and able to be here today. We treasure our health. To some agree here upon the earth, ought to take care of ourselves. There's nothing wrong with taking care of yourself, but we treasure our health. We treasure our home. We treasure our possessions, our family heirlooms. We treasure our opinions. We treasure our times. But sadly, among all those things we treasure so greatly, we fail to treasure the one thing that we should treasure above all else. If you have your Bibles, we'll begin reading verse number 20 and read through verse 27. The psalmist writing Solomon, as he gives us Solomon speaking to his son, he said, "My son," verse 20, "attend unto my words, incline thine ear unto my sayings. Let them not depart from thine eyes, keep them in the midst of thine heart. For they are life unto those that find them, and health to all their flesh. Keep thy heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life. Put away from thee a froward mouth and a perverse lips, put far from thee. Let thine eyes look right on, and let thine eyelids look straight before thee. Ponder the path of thy feet, and let all thy ways be established. Turn not to the right or to the left, remove thy foot from evil." Our Father, Lord, we do thank you today for the privilege and the opportunity we have to come together today. And I pray that you would guide and direct, give us wisdom, strength, and help. Pray, Lord, that you'd anoint my lips, help me to say only what needs to be said, to leave out that which does not need to be said. And Father, I pray that you speak to the hearts of those that are here. Lord, we've gathered here today to exalt you, to lift your name up above every name. And Lord, we pray now that you would just have your will and way in everything that's said and done. And we'll thank you for it. In Jesus' name we ask and pray. Amen. So we think about all the treasures that we desire or that we think about or is of great importance to us. In fact, becomes our most valuable treasure. In fact, today, and again, I'm not going to reemphasize it for sake of time, but yet it talks about it many times in the scripture. People get to the point where they treasure their possessions or treasure their money. I realized a long time ago that what money I have is because God's been good to me and blessed me and allowed me to have what I have. And he could take it away from me just as quick as he gave it to me. If you don't believe, ask Job. If we could ask Job, Job would tell you that what you have could be taken from you in an instant. But there's one thing that we ought to treasure the most, and the Bible clarifies that in Mark chapter 8, verse 36 and 37. The Bible said, "For what shall it profit a man if he gain the whole world and lose his own soul? Or what shall a man give in exchange for a soul?" I think the greatest treasure today that we have is our soul. Our soul, understanding that this speaks of the matter of salvation. I believe that every person in this building today, in order to go to heaven, must have a relationship with Jesus Christ. There must be a time when you come to the realization and understanding that we were born into a sinful world and that Jesus Christ died on the cross for our sin. The Bible said that if we confess with our mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in thine heart that God is raised from the dead, thou shalt be saved. He said, "For whosoever shall call on the name of the Lord shall be saved." So it's a matter of saving your soul, understanding it's a matter of salvation. Now, once a person is saved, hear me, once a person is saved, they are secure and on their way to heaven. I'm glad to report to you today, I don't say it boasting about me, but I say it boasting about God. When Jesus Christ died for me, he died for all my sins. And when I trusted him as my Savior, he gave me exactly what I needed in order that I might be secure until the day that he calls me home. The Bible says in John 10, listen to what it says, "And I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish." Now, I don't know about you, I'm not real smart, but I do know what never means. It means never. That's my explanation of that. But of course, it means never. That is the promise to us in John chapter 10, verse 28 and 29. He said, "I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish, neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand. My Father which gave them me is greater than all, and no man is able to pluck them out of my Father's hand. So I want you to get the picture, if you would, this morning. He said, what does it profit a man to gain the whole world and lose his own soul? You can go out, you can be a movie star, you can be a ball player, you may make millions of dollars, you may be the most successful person in the room. But the fact of it is, none of that matters. What really matters is what your relationship is with the Lord Jesus Christ. And understanding that when you are saved, we don't have to worry about it anymore. Now, again, I preached on this Wednesday night. Listen, it's not a license to sin. We can't go out and say, well, I'm saved. I can do what I want to, and God will forgive me. I submit to you today, God does forgive. But I tell you also, we need to understand that if we're a child of God, we ought not to want to sin, and we ought to want to live for God and serve Him. The word never. Now, some other people's quotes, and these are Greek words, and I'm not going to give you the Greek word, but one of the meanings is not at all, by no means, in no case, never. Another one means no time, no place, no purpose. Another one speaks of male or female. Never, makes no difference who you are, male or female, white or black, yellow or green, it doesn't matter. You're all children of God, perpetually or eternally. A great rendering of this, and this is just paraphrase. But here's what he's saying. I give unto them eternal life, and they shall not at all, by any means, in any case, in any place, at any time, for any purpose, whether they be male or female, perpetually or eternally, ever perish. I'm glad today that I have the hope that gives me that rendering in my life. Simply, Jesus is simply saying that when he saved you, that never, no, never, never will you ever perish. Now I'm saved. I don't have to worry about it. I know I'm on my way to heaven today, and God's given that blessing to me. But my greatest treasure, what is the greatest treasure? I want to speak to you today on the subject of protection, protecting your most valuable treasure. And so we begin today to look at a few insights we have into the Word of God, but how your treasure is identified. Twice in this text, Solomon spoke of the heart, and the word heart in the Bible does not refer to that muscle inside of me that has AFib, if you would. Not right now, I hope, but I have problems with AFib, and that's what you prayed with me for. I'm not talking about that heart, although that heart's of great importance, but I'm talking about an inward heart that the Lord gives us in understanding, a heart that in ancient times spoke of the will, the emotions, the feelings, or the intellect. The heart is also the seat of the deepest moral and spiritual conviction. The heart is where we feel our deepest moral and spiritual convictions concerning God. You can come to church today and you can hear me preach the message. And you can say, well, I didn't get anything out of it, and that's fine. A lot of times we might not. But the truth of it is, when you come to the house of God, we depend upon the Word of God to speak to our heart, bring us to the place we need to be. I can give my testimony, and I was saved in early age, got away from the Lord. But I tell you, the thing that brought me down the aisle to get saved was the preaching and the hearing of the Word of God. The thing that brought me back after I wandered away and did some things I'm not proud of, it was the conviction of the Holy Spirit of God from the preaching of the Word of God that brought me to the place that I needed to be. In other words, the heart is the center of everything having to do with us. It has everything what we think, what we do, and how we act. It's based on our heart. Now understand today, we have a head knowledge and we have a heart knowledge, but without a heart knowledge, you're not going to heaven. You can have an understanding of salvation in every way there is, but it carries the translation carries the meaning of being in the middle. Being in the middle, as you know, the Bible has some very negative things to say about the heart. Did you know that? In Jeremiah 17:9, the Bible said, the heart is deceitful above all things, desperately wicked, who can know it? He said in Mark 7, verse 21 through 23, for from within, out of the heart, proceed evil thoughts, adulteries, fornications, murders, thefts, covetousness, wickedness, deceit, lasciviousness, an evil eye, blasphemy, pride, foolishness. All these things come from within and defile the man. Where do they come from? It comes from the heart and the desire of our heart and what we have in our heart. And if you have the Lord Jesus Christ in your heart, you ought to have a desire to serve Him and love Him with all your heart and all your soul. We find the Bible isn't very flattering when it describes the fallen nature of the human heart. Now understand, we're preaching on the heart today. We think about how important the physical heart is, but we're talking today about the spiritual heart. The Bible is very flattering. Here's what. The heart is always, listen, the heart is always associated with sin, rebellion, unrighteousness, deception, and death. Now, that doesn't sound much like a good treasure, does it? But it is a treasure if it's treated in the right way. When a lost soul or when somebody gives their heart to Jesus Christ for salvation, the very nature of the heart undergoes a transformation. Many in here today probably have had open heart surgery. I've had a taste of it. I didn't have the full-blown thing, but they did have to open me up and go into my heart and to do some things. And hopefully when they got through, there was a transformation that they had fixed the problem. But what happens in our life if our heart is evil? We need a transformation of the Lord Jesus Christ. Listen to what he says when we get saved that he gives us. In Ezekiel, you don't have to turn there, but Ezekiel 36, verse 25 through 27. He said, "Then will I sprinkle clean water upon you, and you shall be clean. For all your filthiness and from all your idols will I cleanse you." Now listen. "A new heart also will I give you, and a new spirit will I put within you, and I will take away the stony heart out of your flesh, and I will give you a heart of flesh, and I will put my spirit within you, and cause you to walk in my statutes, and you shall keep my judgments and do them." Here's what he said. He said, if you get saved, if you give Jesus your heart, then he's going to give you a new heart. The heart he's going to give you is going to be clean. It's going to be sprinkled with water and purified and clean and help us to do the things that we need to do. And so at this point, it becomes a real treasure. Treasure worth more than money. Treasure worth more than gold. Treasure worth more than our houses, our lands. But that's why salvation is used the term being born again. When I got born again, I got a new heart. I remember we had a lady in our church years ago. She got a heart transplant. And thank the Lord they can do those now. And many people have had heart transplants, and I'm grateful they're able to do it. But I tell you, she had a heart transplant, and she found this verse in the Bible. She came to church. She was all excited. And she said, "Well, God promised me he'd give me a new heart." And she gave me the scripture, and I said, "You know, that's good, and that's great, and he does." But it also, that came about when you got saved and born again by the Spirit of God. God gave you a heart and a desire to serve him and be faithful to him. You see, our old heart, we get saved, it's changed. Old ways of thinking are changed to new things of thinking. Old ways of feeling are replaced by new feelings. Old ways of living are changed by a new way of living. You see, when we become a child of God, put our faith and trust in him, we become a new creature in Christ. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. And when we're saved, we're given a new heart. Now, I'm not talking physically of a heart, but I'm talking about the seed of our emotions, the seed of our doing, the seed of our mind is all centered around our heart. And we're saved, we get a new heart, and the redeemed have a heart, and that's the greatest treasure in all the world. And I pray today that you're protecting the treasure of your heart. Now, in order to do that, the heart becomes a treasure because the change that Jesus makes in it. Number two, why your treasure is important. I want you to see this morning why your treasure is important. Now, Solomon is teaching his son God's truth. And by the way, could I say today that all dads, moms too, ought to teach their children the Word of God? The Bible said, raise them up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. Teach them the truth of the way of God. And by the way, I would not be where I'm at today had it not been for a mom and dad that cared about me, that took me to church, read their Bible at home, taught me that I was to read the Bible and pray. And I tried to get away from it, unfortunately, but thank God, God brought me back to where I needed to be, all because somebody taught me the way. And Solomon is trying to teach his son the way. Notice verse 20. He said, "Son, attend to my words." We come to the house of God. There's nothing any more important than the Word of God. The Bible said, faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. My daddy, I used to think he was old-fashioned. Used to think that he didn't know what he was talking about when I was young and knew it all. At least thought I knew it all. I thought my daddy didn't know anything. But I tell you today, my daddy's in heaven today. But oh, the joy of having, if I could have him back this morning, have him in my presence to give me some words of wisdom that he often give me. And by the way, when he was living, there was hardly a single night went by that I did not talk to my dad on the telephone. And he gave me great wisdom and wisdom that I'll never forget. Notice in verse 21, just the first part, he said, let them not depart from thine eyes. What? The word. In other words, keep it before you all the time. Thy word, the psalmist said, thy word have I hid in my heart that I might not sin against thee. Listen, the Bible is not for just Sunday morning, Sunday night and Wednesday night. The Bible is for daily living, to practice, to hear, to read, to heed what the Bible has to say. So not only take heed to my words, he speaks to his son, but let them not depart from thine eyes. In other words, be reminded of them. And how do you be reminded of them? Reading the Bible daily is a good way for you to be reminded of the Scripture. I tell people that have young children that get saved early in life, you say, do you really believe they understand? I believe that children understand. The fact the Bible said, except you become as a little child, you shall not enter into the kingdom of heaven. But when a child is born, I tell the parents, I said, now it's your responsibility to keep it before them the rest of their life. Remind them, talk to them, question them. Make sure that they know and understand the truth of the Word of God. So he said, I want you to hear my words. I want you to keep my words. And then he challenges his son keep his heart. Look at the latter part in verse 21. Keep them in the midst of thine heart. That's where you keep them, in your heart. Thy word have I hid in my heart. What a blessing to understand. You know what the words mean there? It means to store up. It means to meditate on them, to hold to them, to live by them. You see, life refers to vitality, strength, and freshness. Health refers to medicine, cure, a remedy, and wholesomeness. But thus this wisdom is received, is meditated upon, and it gives us strength and vitality for all of life. It's a remedy to keep the Word of God in our heart. It's a cure. I was listening this morning to the radio. There's a man, he was a singer, and he was giving a testimony, and he lost his voice. The doctor told him he'd never sing again. He went through a great state of depression for a long period of time, but he told how he just kept praying, and kept trusting the Lord. And one night, the day when he was praying, he said the longer he prayed, the stronger his voice got. By the time he got through praying, he said his voice was there. And when his wife came home, he was packing up. He traveled with a quartet. He was packing up to go join them with the group. And his wife said, where in the world do you think you're going? He said, I'm going to sing. She said, you know the doctor told you that you couldn't sing anymore. He said, oh, but the great physician passed by this morning. He said, he came by and he touched me. And he made me whole. And I'm glad today that God has blessed me through the life. According to these words, it means keeping, storing up, meditating on the truth is done through the heart. The hearer of this wisdom is to store it all in his heart. Friend, today I'm thankful for my mind, what little bit I got left. I'm thankful for the mind that God gave me in order that I might memorize the Scripture. But memorizing the Scripture does not get it just in the head. It must be in the heart. And much Scripture I memorized, I can no longer quote, but there's many that I can. And it's because I hid that treasure in my heart, and it protected it all the years. The word there means he knows what a person's heart is. By the way, he's the one that transformed it, made it new. The heart is a biblical term. By the way, you could look at it like this. The heart is the engine that drives the vehicle. In other words, the heart is the engine that drives. Listen, in fact, everybody knows that you have a heart attack, you can die immediately. We know that if something happens to the heart, that's the one function. There's other functions in the body, of course, that are critical. But the heart is very critical, not only physically, but spiritually in our hearts, that we keep our heart in the place it needs to be. It's like the steering wheel in a car. The heart is. Whatever's in your heart will direct the direction you go in. Whatever's in your heart will help you to avoid places that you should not go. It's like a rudder on the boat. I remember years ago, my dad had bought a boat, and I don't know why in the world he ever did. We never had one, and he bought an old boat. That's all we ever bought of anything much back when I was growing up. And he bought an old boat. And so he took me, and I was dating a girl back then. Susan left, so I can talk about it. No, I'm just kidding. But I took my girlfriend. I had my girlfriend with me and mother and daddy. We was going out on that nice boat. That nice boat was an old boat. And I tell you what, I didn't think nothing about it. I got on there, and my daddy, I didn't think of him being a seaman. But He took off out. We got far enough away we couldn't see land. He cranked up, was going to move us to another fishing hole. And when he turned the steering wheel, the rope that controls the motor on the back broke. And here we are stuck in the middle of the ocean with no way to go. You know, you get in a mess when your heart's not in the right place. It'll cause you some heartache and difficulty. But guess what? God sent a boat. You ever heard that joke about people getting on the roof waiting for God to rescue them? We were sitting there, and this guy come along, and I don't know what we had, but we waved something, and he come over. What a blessing. His rudder began to work for our rudder and got us back to the dock, for which I was ever grateful. I didn't want to be stranded there the rest of my life. But you know what? A boat is of no value. Now, I know some of y'all love cruises, and y'all can have fun on them cruises all you want to. I ain't going out on no boat. I might go a little ways, but I don't know. I hear about all kind of things happening. Well, anyway, let me move on. It's like a rudder on a boat, and like your heart. Wherever the heart turns, the life will follow. At least it ought to. That's why you got to guard your heart. Friend, it's more than just getting saved on Sunday morning and then going back to the world the next week. It's living a life that is pleasing to God, filling your mind and your heart with the things of God in order that God might work in and through you and direct the path as you take. Psalm 24, verse 3 and 4, he said, "Who shall ascend to the hill of the Lord? Or who shall stand in his holy place?" Now listen, those two questions that are asked. Who is it, he says, that can ascend to the hill of the Lord? And who can stand in this holy place? And here's the answer. He that hath clean hands and a pure heart and hath not lifted up his soul into vanity nor sworn deceitfully. In other words, for us to enter into the presence of God, we must be clean from within. It's the power of the heart to control our life. In so many days, we do not guard our heart. We do things that we know that we ought not to do. Listen to Mark 7, verse 21 through 23. He said, "For from within, out of the heart, proceed evil thoughts, adulteries, fornications, murders, thefts, covetousness, wickedness, deceit, lasciviousness, an evil eye, blasphemy, pride, foolishness. All these things come from within and defile the man." So the heart of the believer is the most important treasure we have. It's not that house you live in. It's not that money that you got in the bank. It's not what kind of clothes you wear or the car you drive. It's all based upon your heart relationship with Jesus Christ. And many people today go through life and they say, "Well, I hope I'm saved and I believe I'm saved." But the Bible says in order to be saved, we must give Jesus our heart. He says, "With the heart, man believeth unto salvation. With the mouth, confession is made unto salvation. With the heart, man believeth unto righteousness." He said, "For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved." The heart of the believer is the most important treasure you got. Just as much as my heart beating in my chest and yours beating in yours is probably the most important physical organ you have in your body, the spiritual heart in our life that has been redeemed by the blood of the Lamb is just as important. Well, excuse me, it's more important. Because I tell you, down here we live just a little while, but in eternity we live forever in one place or the other. He said in John 4:14, "But whosoever drinketh of the water that I shall give him shall never thirst. But the water that I shall give him shall be in him a well of springing up unto everlasting life." In John 7:37-38, "In the last days, that great day of the feast, Jesus stood and cried, saying, If any man thirst, let him come after me. He that believeth on me, as the scripture has said, out of his belly shall flow rivers of living water." In the ancient world, droughts were continually happening. It was a problem. You read all through the Bible, they speak of droughts quite often. But if a man had a spring on his property, he was a wealthy man. You see, today we take water for granted. We go to the refrigerator and get it out and drink it. We never stop to think about not having it anymore. But the heart is like an ancient spring. It just keeps on giving. It flows life and blessing and hope and peace and joy and all other things that come from a relationship with Jesus Christ. I like the song the kids sing, "I'm so happy, and here's the reason why." Jesus took my burden away. Thank God he saved my soul years ago. And I tell you today, my heart needs to be protected at all cost. When the Lord saves us, he replaces our heart. And out of the new heart flows life, love, blessing, hope, peace, joy, salvation. This mighty river affects everyone around us. In Romans 5:5, and hope maketh not ashamed. Listen, because the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost, which is given unto us. And hope maketh not ashamed because the love of God is shed abroad in our heart. I don't know about you, but I want to demonstrate God's love in my life. I want people to see Jesus in me. And I want people to see Jesus in you. In order that we may understand that the heart is like a vast, deep ocean. When a person is lost, the heart is filled with corruption. But when that heart undergoes a transformation, when it comes to the fact that that heart, you get saved, it brings good things. Things that we no longer had before. Before we're saved, it's despair, death, destruction, and all those things that come our way. But the ocean of the saved heart is filled with the love of Almighty God. In fact, you know, that's one of the characteristics of knowing whether a person's saved. The Bible said that he knows that we're saved if we love the brethren. And today we ought to love the brethren in everything that we do. There was a fellow by the name of Sir Walter Raleigh. He was a sea captain on a ship years ago when Queen Elizabeth was actually in reign. He was a fearless adventurer, and she thought very highly of him. She thought the world of him, and he was her favorite queen. But her successor, James I, did not like Sir Walter Raleigh, and so he decided that he was going to have him put to death. He sent him out to the executioner. The executioner got him ready in order that they might slay him. And the executioner liked Sir Walter Raleigh very much. And he said, Mr. Raleigh, or Walter Raleigh, whatever he called him, Sir Walter Raleigh, I take no pleasure in this duty, but hoping to ease the moments for the executioner, here's what he told Sir Walter. He told him how to place his head upon the chopping block in the certain way to where it would be instant decapitation. I know that's not great to hear, but that's the way they used to do it. And he says, here's what you need. You need to turn your head a certain way, and it'll almost be immediately. But he thanked the man. He said, I appreciate your concern. But here's what he said. It matters little, friend, whether or not my head is right, so long as my heart is right. I thought I read that, and I said, what a statement. What a love, obviously, for God. Here he said, I'm not worried about that. I thank you, but really what that matters is not my head. It's my heart. And again, the heart drives life. It determines direction. We must be sure that we practice and protect our hearts against anything that would defile it. Anything we put in front of our eyes, anything that we read out of a magazine or a book, anything that would be harmful to us to turn our heart away from God. Because I'm telling you, our heart will hanker and linger for the things that are not good. But we need to linger for a heart of God. Then thirdly, how your treasure is insulated. How your treasure is insulated. Oh, that was maybe a good word there to slide in. Go back to verse 23 in our text. He said, keep thy heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life. The word keep means to guard or protect. The word all diligence literally means above all keeping. Guard and protect. Insulate our hearts above everything in our lives. The most important task that you'll have in this world is guarding your heart. The Puritan writer John Flavel said, a gracious heart is like a musical instrument, which though it be exactly tuned, a small matter brings it out of tune again. Hang it beside it for a while, and it'll need tuning again before another lesson can be played upon it. And like a fine instrument, the heart is easy to get out of tune. I'd love to tell you this morning that once you become saved, that you'll never have evil desires, that you'll never desire to do wrong again, because the devil, the Bible said, is a roaring lion walking about seeking whom he may devour. I can tell you, if you get saved, more than likely you're going to have all kind of things happen because the devil is going to be out to tear everything down that you know you need to do. But we need to get our hearts in touch and in tune with God. How do we do that? How do we guard our heart? How in the world do we protect our heart? In verses 24 through 27, he said, to keep thee from evil women and from the flattery of the tongue of... Excuse me, I'm reading the wrong verse. Let me go back over here. In verse 24 through 27, keep thy heart with all diligence, he said, for out of it are the issues of life. Put away from thee a forward mouth, perverse lips, and far from thee. Let thine eyes look right on. Let thine eyelids look straight before thee. Ponder the path of thy feet. Let all thy ways be established. Here's what he said. Give strict attention to the path you walk. I don't like walking through the woods, but if I do, I watch where I step. Because there's snakes everywhere. And one may get you. But I can assure you today, the devil wants to get you too. We must watch what we do. We get saved. We get a new heart. And if we've got a new heart, we need to protect that heart. And we need to be careful what we hear and what we watch. We need to watch what we say. We need to watch where we go. We must watch what we see. We must watch what we listen to. You see, people leave these important disciplines out of their lives because they have problems in their heart. And when these things are left out of your life, it makes the problem of your heart grow worse. Have you ever heard somebody say, boy, they've got a hard heart. They've got a cold heart. They've got a heart that is no longer desires the things of God. If we're going to keep our hearts, I want to give you quickly several things. Monitor our speech. Look at verse 24 again. He speaks the words forward and perverse. Both mean the same thing. They mean crooked. We must pay close attention to the words that come out of our mouth. Because literally the words are the window of our heart. When our words are evil, it lets us know that the heart needs attention. Somebody might say something, then realize that they've said it. But that's what the Holy Spirit's there for, by the way, anyway, to convict you of that. So listen to what you say and how you say it. A clean, holy, pure heart produces words that are good. If any man will come among you, you seem to be religious, and bridleth not his tongue, but deceiveth his own heart, this man's religion is in vain. Can I read that again? That's James chapter 1, verse 26. He said, if any man among you seem to be religious and bridleth not his tongue, but deceiveth his own heart, this man's religion is vain. In other words, you need to learn to monitor your speech. We need to learn to guard our eyes. He says in verse 25, look right on. Look straight before. The idea is that we follow the path laid down, but the path that's been laid down is the path of the Word of God. This is my guidebook. It's my survival book. It's all I need to get me down the path of life in order that I might do the things that I need to do. By the way, when you allow the Holy Spirit to come into your life through your eyes, or when you allow evil things to come through your eyes, it affects your heart. And I'm telling you today, you know what I'm talking about. Men, women, it's easy for the devil to get a hold of our mind and to get a hold of our hearts. And the heart needs to be protected. How do we got to stay away from those things that would hinder us from being the Christian we need to be. Then number three, he said, watch our steps. In verse 26 and 27, he uses the words to ponder. To ponder. It would do us all well to some days to ponder life in general. To weigh it out. Think about the path we're taking. Contemplate where we are. Contemplate what we're doing. And wonder if we need to make some changes. If we need to turn around and guard our heart more than we have in order that we might protect our heart. I tell you today, the heart is many times destroyed because the wrong desires and the things that we put before our eyes, in our ears, and all that we may even say with our mouth. We must watch our steps carefully because our steps reveal the condition of our heart. Don't take me long to tell whether somebody's a Christian or not. You just hang around them for a little bit, and usually what they say will help you to understand whether they're Christian or if their heart is right. We think about the heart. It's out of tune with God. You just continue to step further away when you do things you shouldn't. Our steps lead us away. It contributes to degeneration of the heart. In other words, we do not guard the heart as we should. We cause our heart to grow colder. That's why we need to hear the Word of God. Somebody said, I don't need to go to church. You don't get saved going to church. You're right. You can go to church every Sunday and still die and go to hell. But the fact of it is, we need to go to church. Why? In order that God might continue to teach us His Word, to make us think about the life we're living and what we're doing and the direction we're going. The most fundamental things we can think of, these old-fashioned disciplines of Christian life, guard and protect our heart, is read your Bible. I've already quoted it, but the psalmist said, Thy word have I hid in my heart, that I might not sin against thee. Public and private prayer. It's wonderful to pray publicly, but it's more wonderful to pray privately when it's just you and God. Public and private worship. Yes, there's times we ought to worship God. In fact, it talks about entering into a closet to pray. Diligent obedience to the Word of God. Compassionate about the needs of others. Sharing the gospel with the lost. I don't know about you this morning, but the Bible tells me that every person that's born in this world is born lost. And he said, wherefore is but one man sin and into the world death by sin, so death passed upon all men, for that all have sinned. So the Bible tells me that we as Christians are to go into all the world and preach the gospel. That's why we have the Gospel of John. It tells you how you can know beyond a shadow of a doubt that you've been saved or need to be saved by His grace. Faithful and generous giving to the work of the Lord. This work, listen, God's been so good to this church. All you got to do is look around and see He's blessed us so well. And I tell you today, but it was all because God's people, given sacrificially and whatever we needed, whatever took place, they've been there to supply the need. Faithful and generous giving, fellowshipping with the people of God. Somebody said, I don't go to church because I don't like the preacher. And you might not. But there's still some good Christian people here you can fellowship with, even if you don't like the preacher. You can come and fellowship. Listen, when I'm out sick, which is very seldom, but when I'm out sick, I don't miss the preaching because I watch it online. But I watch the people as they come into the church. And I miss them. My heart longs to be with my brothers and sisters in Christ. That's how you protect your heart. You see, we need to be full and pure of the things of God. Not full of the world and its pollutions, but of the good things of the Lord. Pure by diligently guarding the streams that flow into the reservoir. If we follow the muddled stream of sin and self, our heart will be destroyed. I thought about it as a child. There's innocence on the heart of a child completely gets lost. They grow up, begin life's experience. Parents would do quite well to guard the hearts of their children. Do you know today that you parents are the gatekeeper to your children's heart? That's why I emphasize the importance so much of children being raised up in church. And that's why we do Preacher's Pals. That's why we do things down at the gym. We want to invest. We had those clubs at that apartment. Man, that was just a miracle. I won't get off on that, but I tell you, that was our first meeting. And this is the management, the people in the management of the apartments called us and asked us to come have a Bible club once a month. We went. Man, we had a great time. The kids enjoyed it. We got addresses. We're going to be doing that every month. But what are we doing that for? Because their little hearts need somebody to protect them and to help them along the way. The heart is easily damaged. It's easily damaged by one speech, one walk, one step, one attitude, one spiritual desire. It's the most precious possession you have in the world. When the heart is right, the life will be right. When the heart is wrong, the life will follow. Whatever the heart loves, the eyes will see, the ears will hear, and the feet will follow, and the hands will handle. When the heart is in love with God, listen to what it said in Luke 11, verse 34 through 36. The light of the body is the eye. Therefore, when thine eye is single, thy whole body also is full of light. But when thine eye is evil, thy body is also full of darkness. Take heed, therefore, that the light which is in thee be not darkness. If any whole body thereof be full of light, having no part dark, the whole shall be full of light. It's when the bright shining of the candle doth give thee light. I know you didn't have it in front of you. Probably hard to remember all that. But what he's saying is, if you look at evil stuff, your heart's going to be wrong. But when you look at the good stuff and you listen to the Word of God, your heart will be right. Are you actively guarding your heart? The most valuable treasure of your life. I have invested my life into the ministry of helping people guard their heart. But I must tell you, I have a heart of my own that needs guarding all the time. Friend, tonight we need to understand it this morning. Perhaps you're here and you need a new heart. Maybe you've never done what we said today the Scripture teaches us that we need to do. We need to come and ask the Lord to forgive us of our sin, to come in our heart and save us and give us eternal life. And listen, if you really do that and believe that, God saves you and He'll save you instantly. Give you eternal life. If you're that case today, you need a new heart. But some of you, I would say today, just needs a transformation of the heart. You need a touch from the Heavenly Father upon your heart to get it back to the place that it needs to be again. I just emphasized it to you this morning. Guard your heart. It's the most important possession that you have. Guard your children's heart. It's the most important possession that you have.